Welcome to Ask the Pastor with Jim Simmons and Charles Lyons, the program that provides great Bible teaching and the opportunity to ask your questions. Our guests are some of the most fascinating Christians in cinema, writing, and various professional fields. Now, be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Good evening and welcome to Ask the Pastor Now. I'm Jim Simmons, and we are pleased to wish for you a very Merry Christmas. It is Christmas time, that special time of the year when the rest of the world catches up with us. You see, here at Ask the Pastor Now, we celebrate our Savior, His birth and resurrection year-round. So tonight on Ask the Pastor Now, we encourage you to join us for an intimate gathering of the billions around the earth as we celebrate a Christian Christmas. Now, without further delay, here is the pastor of Ask the Pastor Now, Mr. Ho 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 himself, Dr. Charles Lyons.
Well, thank you so much, Jim. That's a great way to be introduced. Definitely remember that. By the way, I noticed that you were very specific in the way you did the introduction. You didn't say simply Christmas, but a Christian Christmas. And I think that's special. You know, we can gather together this holiday season and have time with friends and sometimes with co-workers. Sometimes those two groups are the same. But what is particularly important is to differentiate a Christian Christmas. Because the world has really worked hard to redefine all of Christianity, all of our faith, into something of this world. And here is Christmas, a very incredibly special time of year when we honor our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We remember the fact that He came to this earth and took on the form of man just so He could take on our sin for us. Such an incredible moment, such a spiritual moment. And to realize that God would do that for us is stunning. And so for us to make the mistake of making it only a secular holiday and not recognize the power, the value, the tenderness of that moment, it's just not right. So I am thankful that the time we spend together tonight with our listeners and in the days ahead as they perhaps listen through the archive, that they will do so realizing that we are honoring a Christian Christmas. That's important. That's special. It makes it very specific, very unique. Tonight, we're going to share that time with friends, as we always do. Those of you who listen through the live broadcast or through the archive, we certainly consider you friends and extended family. But we're also doing something a little different tonight. We have, via recording, some folks we interviewed earlier in the week. And so we have guests, friends, that will be with us tonight. Three very special individuals that I'll explain a little bit more about as we begin. But one thing I want to let you know is that if you're listening, viewing us on Ask the Pastor Now website, you can glance down below the screen. You'll notice some areas printed there where it states Christian Christmas with Friends. And the line right underneath that says, join Jim and Charles for a special edition of Ask the Pastor Now as we celebrate Christmas with our listeners and some wonderful guests. You can see our guests right here. And the way you would see them, by the way, if you were to click on the Here button, it will take you out to our YouTube site where we have the interviews have been recorded. And so perhaps after the broadcast, if you'd like to see the faces with the names and relive the interview that they've shared, that's the place you can go and do precisely that. So that's a little something extra we've done tonight. We hope you'll enjoy that. So just click on that statement here where it says our guests right here, and that will take you out. But before we begin anything, we want to do it the right way, the best of ways. So Jim, if you'd be kind enough to open us in prayer tonight.
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight with heads and hearts bowed in reverence. We are so thankful that you sent Jesus the Christ to die for us that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Father, we sit in a nation that enjoys freedom. Thank you for placing your hedge of protection around this nation. Lord, we pray for the men and women who are serving our country in all branches of the military. Keep them safe, protect them, and their noble cause. Comfort those families who have loved ones in arms that will spend Christmas away on foreign soil and on foreign waters. May we always honor our veterans. It's in the name that's above all names, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. I said tonight would be particularly special as we celebrate Christmas. We've got three gentlemen joining us by way of interview. And what makes these gentlemen unique and special for us is that these are men of prayer. They are in the workforce. They hold jobs. One of the gentlemen is a business owner. What's interesting, though, various walks of life, all of them committed to praying and interceding with others. I think sometimes men get a label or a stigma attached to them, and we forget such titles as a Christian man. And that's why we've asked these gentlemen to join us in this fashion. Wanted you to have an opportunity to hear men who are simple men, just like you, just like me, who take their walk, try to honor God with that walk, but also with all the things they could be doing with their lives. They're married men, single men. What they set as a priority is praying and interceding with others. So the first gentleman we're going to introduce you to is a man by the name of Jim Covey, and we'll give him a chance to tell you a little bit more about just who he is.
I've been married for almost 32 years. I got two grown daughters. They're both married now, ages 27 and 29. Both been married a couple of years. They got engaged on the same day, the year before they got married, which happened to be on Father's Day. And then got married the following year, just a few weeks apart. So my wife was busy during that time planning two weddings.
Well, Jim, you've gone down that road. What's it like having, if you could imagine, not one but two daughters getting married on the same occasion?
I cannot imagine that. My hat's off to Jimmy. He is a wonderful man, and I've met his wife. She's a wonderful person. And just really pleased at how well, he has conducted his role as a father, as a godly father and a godly husband. So I don't know what it's like to have two weddings at one time, but I can remember one that was really earth-shattering. You were there, weren't you, Pastor?
I believe I was, yes. wonderful memory.
Yeah, I think you officiated.
That's probably why I remember it so well,
yeah,
yes.
Absolutely.
The nice thing about officiating a wedding, they won't start with you and they won't quit early. So that works out nicely. You get to be there for the whole thing.
Right, right.
You know, one of the questions we asked all three gentlemen is a question I'm going to give Jim Covey a chance to answer right now, which is, imagine, and I'd like all of our listeners to think about this for a moment. Imagine you meet somebody who's just come to our country for the first time, and they're learning different things, and what you discover is they have not a clue about what is Christmas and why we celebrate it. So, Jim, how would you answer that question?
On the human side, it's just the celebration of Christmas and Santa Claus exchanging gifts, seasonal event here in the, well, not just here in the U.S., but around the world. But primarily it is a Christian event where we celebrate the birth of Christ, our Lord and Savior. It tends to have been taken over by the secular side of Christmas, but that's the original meaning of Christmas, is the ultimate gift from God, where he brought his son into this world to give us that gift from him.
That's so true. By the way, Jim, he made a good statement there about how it seems like the world has tried to take Christmas away from us. As a believer, what do you believe that we might do as simple things that might help to take it back, to make Christmas once again Christian?
You know, Pastor, I think you've explained this before, because I think I get angry, and I can't remember when I didn't understand or didn't know about this. As I've told you before in some of our conversation, it surprises me how many people don't appreciate Christmas, don't understand it, and don't know the significance, because they've grown up, you know, it's all about the presents. And, the pastor you and I both admire, Dr. Ed Young here in Houston, when he talks about Easter. He says it's not about the bunny. So I think it's important that there are folks that are diligent in reminding others that either don't know or just didn't grow up in that mindset that Christmas is not about opening presents. It's about receiving the greatest gift you could ever have, and that's the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ.
Well, I thank you for that. And by the way, I apologize. I realize I may have given you a little confusion there. Since we're interviewing Jim Covey, and your name is Jim, and I asked Jim a question, and I guess neither one of you knew who to answer. So let me be more specific and ask Jim Covey now to share how you celebrate Christmas.
Well, I guess now, with our daughters grown and married, we alternate. And this year we happen to have our daughters and their husbands with us. So Christmas Day, they will come over, we'll open gifts, have a nice meal. On the alternate Christmases, like last year, my wife and I went out of town for a weekend. But this year we haven't, so we're staying here and we'll all be at our house Christmas Day.
Well, that's wonderful. And Mr. Covey, I wonder if you'd be kind enough to share one more thought with us. I want you to go back in time now and think about your favorite Christmas memory.
I've got two brothers, one older, one younger, so I'm the middle, of course. I guess our Christmases when I was younger and growing up here in Houston were probably pretty typical. Parents and the children together around the tree. We had a couple of grandmothers when I was growing up, and they would come to Houston, spend Christmas with us. So as children, of course, we did all the receiving, no giving from our side. It's just all receiving. But it was probably right. Pretty typical of an American household back in the 50s and 60s growing up. We're all good memories, no bad memories there. Very fortunate, very blessed to have lived in a home where I had faithful parents to God, to each other, to their family. And that's continued now with me and my brothers and our children as well.
Well, that's wonderful. I think it's very special when families have those good memories, very positive memories, and can be together. So as we close out your segment, is there your final words to us?
Merry Christmas to Charles and Jim and to all the Ask the Pastor Now family.
Well, certainly thank you so much
thank
for
you.
That. That's very kind. You know, I don't think there's much more special an item for the Christmas holidays, and I hope I'm saying that right, but music. You just about can't have Christmas without music in there. And a very precious song that we think of is called O Holy Night. You know, in 1847, Placido Capo de Romanure was the commissioner of wines in a small French town. Now, you might not think of that as being the person that would be writing a wonderful Christmas or Christian hymn or song, but he was a poet, and he loved to write. So it was somewhat shocking even for him when the parish priest came to him and asked him to write a poem for Christmas and for their service. And so he wanted to honor it and do it in the best way possible, so he began traveling around and trying to do the best job he could. He used the Gospel of Luke as his guide, and imagine what it would be like to witness the birth of Jesus Christ there in Bethlehem. And with that was his inspiration to write the words. And once he wrote that poem, it touched him as well. And here's somewhat of an irony. He then took that to, since he wasn't musically talented, he took it to a gentleman by the name of Adolphe Charles Adams for help. Now, he was a classical musician, also not involved necessarily in the churches or the chapels, classically trained, involved with orchestra and ballets all over the world. So this was a unique challenge for him as well, to put this wonderful poem to music. He had a Jewish ancestry. He was touched by the words. He said it was interesting because, you know, he didn't celebrate the man that he was writing music for the poem about. His view was not that this was the Son of God, but he went to work trying to write the music to match the beautiful words. When he finished it, it pleased both the poet and the priest and was sung just 3 weeks later in the midnight mass at the Christmas Eve. It's one more particularly interesting thing for us on our broadcast tonight. O Holy Night is the first piece of music to ever been broadcast on radio. It was on Christmas Eve, December 24th, 1906, that Reginald Fessenden, a Canadian inventor and broadcaster of the first AM radio program. That broadcast included him playing O Holy Night on violin. So here is a short rendition of O Holy Night. Truly is a beautiful song with a beautiful set of words and just a very touching memory. Yes. That stays with us. Said that we had several gentlemen with us tonight. The second guest is Paul Butera, and after he introduces himself, Jim, would you go ahead and share with him some things and give us your insights on Paul?
My name is Paul Butera. My home is originally here in Houston, Texas.
Jim?
Okay. And Paul, what is Christmas to you?
Well, to me, it's peace on earth and good tidings to all men, just mm-hmm. like the Bible says, and the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Excellent, excellent. And Paul, what would you say is your favorite Christmas song?
What Child Is This is my favorite song, What Child Is This? Because it strictly talks about the baby Jesus being born and why he came to die for us on the cross. And it's just a beautiful song to me.
Well, Paul, you're going to be grateful. I'm not going to ask you to sing it. So let me ask you another question, Paul. How would you describe Christmas to a stranger that knew nothing of Christmas? How would you describe it?
Yes, I would say Christmas is about the birth of Jesus, celebrating Jesus Christ's birth of the Son of God. It's all about his mm-hmm. birthday and why he mm-hmm. came to earth.
Great. Well, Paul, how do you celebrate Christmas? How do you and your family celebrate?
Worshiping Jesus, celebrating his birthday, and being with family and friends. Big family gathering at my brother's house. We're going to celebrate over there.
Jim, let me jump in for just a moment, if I may. You know, I think so far we've heard celebration, Christmas is family time. One thing I want to sort of pass along is that Paul is a single gentleman. And I think that's good for our single listeners to hear, because sometimes they can feel a little isolated. But I want you all to know is that, you know, as singles, sometimes you're in a better position to minister at Christmas time than our families. I think families, for obvious reasons, have to nurture their immediate family. Now, Paul has stepped in and mm-hmm. Continued this wonderful brother relationship and is able to worship and celebrate Christmas time. Both in our church and with his brother. But, you know, it's interesting to me to see the single gentlemen step forward, single women in our church that do so many things. Paul's very active in our church, and I just think that's a wonderful thing to see, a testimony of singles who are working behind the scenes sometimes at doing precious things. Again, I want to remind people that all three of the people you're hearing tonight are strong men of God. They are involved. They're in Bible study classes. Some are involved in music. Some are, in fact, all are involved in prayer lines and talking and ministering to people. So I think that's a powerful thing that I want to reemphasize. Because, again, the stereotype of men sometimes is that you don't equate them as being men of prayer. But that's why I thought it was particularly important tonight to have three godly men who make that a priority in their lives. Jim?
Mm-hmm. Well, Paul, can you tell us about your favorite childhood Christmas memory?
I was a little boy, and me and my brother Michael got up real early in the morning and snuck in to open up our gifts before everybody else, and then closed them all back up and snuck back into bed.
Okay, I can imagine brothers doing stuff like that. But what I really would have given anything to see is what those packages looked like in the morning when the parents walked in and saw those.
Right.
Can you imagine that?
Right. Oh, that would be something, yes.
Jim, you had a brother, didn't you? Did you ever try anything like that?
I do. I have two brothers.
There you go.
No, but we knew. I think I've said this before. One time I wanted a set of weights. I was a little bit older, but we still had the tradition, even though we all knew by that time. But I can remember we were told, okay, you better go to bed or Santa Claus, you know, it's just kind of comical because we were older. But we heard Dad bringing in these weights that I wanted, and they came in a cardboard box, and they were, you know, like 25 and 10 and 5-pound weights for each side of the barbell, I think. Without the bars, it was something like 85 pounds. And we heard him hit the floor, and Dad grunts, like that. And Tommy and I, my middle brother and I, just die laughing because we know Santa has arrived has arisen with my weights. And so I'll always remember that Christmas Eve waiting for Santa Claus.
Oh, that is marvelous. I think I have a similar memory as a child. Santa was kind enough to bring a train set, which was marvelous, but he wasn't kind enough to bring the wires that connected the transformer to the tracks. And so I do heard the sound of anxious parents through the night trying to find out anything that would connect the transformer to that poor little set of track. But it's interesting what relationships the parents have with Santa and trying to make sure everything turns out just right. So we're pretty thankful for that. Do you have anything more from Paul that he can share with us tonight?
Well, I would just like to know, just a final comment from Paul.
All right. Paul?
I want to wish a very Merry Christmas to Charles and Jim on the Pastor Show. Y'all have a blessed Christmas, and God bless you all.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Paul. God bless you, too.
But, well, just for record, it's not the pastor's show. Okay, it really is in many ways our listeners' program because we encourage you to share with us by the email or by audio recording or even calling in during the broadcast. When you have a question, we'd love to hear it and give us an opportunity to look at the scriptures and see what do the scriptures have to say about a biblical question or a question simply about how do we face life? How do we live life as believers? Tonight even, how do we live life as Christians at Christmas? So it's an interesting thing to consider. Jim, we talked before about so much of Christmas time revolves around music. So let me ask you, do you have another Christmas hymn that might be a favorite for our listeners that you could tell us more about?
Well, yes, let's talk a moment about Old Little Town of Bethlehem. Phillips Brooks, 1835 to 1893, wrote this beloved Christmas hymn for the Sunday school children at his Philadelphia parish, Holy Trinity Church, following a pilgrimage to Bethlehem in 1865, according to British hymnologist J.R. Watson. The hymn was printed on an informal leaflet in December 1868, and then appeared in the Sunday School Hymnal in 1871. According to the story, Brooks traveled on horseback between Jerusalem and Bethlehem on Christmas Eve. And here's something he wrote. Before dark, we rode out of town to the field where they say the shepherds saw the star. It is a fenced piece of ground with a cave in it, in which, strangely enough, they put the shepherds. Somewhere in those fields we rode through, the shepherds must have been. As we passed, the shepherds were still keeping watch over their flocks or leading them home to fold.
Jim?
Brooks participated in the Christmas Eve.
Let me ask you, during your Holy Land trip, did you see such an area? Can you give us a little more detail of what that might have been like?
Well, I do remember we did not go to Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you look on a map and you see how close these cities and towns are, we saw it from a distance, and it was, you know, things looked a little more, I guess, cosmopolitan.
Hmm.
And it wasn't, it was not the same as I had imagined it. It was actually a little more modern than I anticipated.
Interesting.
Pretty unusual.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, yeah. Brooks participated in the Christmas Eve service and writes hymnologist Albert Bailey conducted in Constantine's ancient basilica. That was 326 A.D. You don't remember that, do you,
not,
Pastor?
Not well.
Built over the traditional site of the Nativity, a cave. The service lasted from 10 p.m. to 3 a.m. This sequence of events provided the backdrop for Brooks' children's hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Wonderful. Another gentleman we have with us tonight is Jerry Martino, and I've been blessed to work with Jerry for some time. In fact, all three of these gentlemen we have tonight have volunteered with us for a very long time, and so that shows a consistency that I've seen in all three of their lives. Their Christian testimony is very strong and consistent.
Yeah.
Very thankful for that. That means a lot to a pastor. I know when I was going through the loss of my mother when she was still in the hospital, that Jerry was faithful in coming and visiting and was there at very difficult times. So he's a man who sets his priorities, and his priority seems to be to witness and share with others. Strong soul winner, all three men. Jerry has a very fun sense of humor, and yet is able to deal with various serious situations as well. But that's what I think is interesting, and one of the reasons I wanted these three particular gentlemen with us tonight. All three of them have different personalities. All three of them have strengths that they bring to the table. All three of them are different in their own ways. And the reason that is so very important is it's a good reminder for all of us who feel like, well, my particular set of gifts or my particular talents are different. And so we try to use that sometimes as an excuse to say, well, I can't serve. These three men, on some handles, you would say are very different from each other, but they have a tremendous common bond of serving God and setting that as a priority. So it's to their credit that they stand for something, they stand for their faith, they stand for their country, they stand for a belief in God. So it's an honor to know them and to work with them. Jerry, we're going to be very similar as we've been with the others and ask him this question. So, for you, what is Christmas?
It's about Jesus Christ, period. And his birth, why he came, God's revelation. It's the main point of the Bible, why the Old Testament's there leading up to Jesus Christ's birth. He is the center of the Bible. He's everything. And we wouldn't be where we are now. We'd have no hope without him. He's the center point of everything we do and live for.
That's a wonderful way of putting it. Jim, what do you think about that? That he is the center of everything, and without him, what kind of life would we have? What are your thoughts?
I love what he said. You know, Jerry was very kind to me at one time. I recall at, you know, we were at a funeral. It was your mom's funeral. And he asked about my brother, Tommy. And he said, Tommy was in the hospital in a coma. And he says, have you laid hands on him? And I'll never forget that, because he prompted me to do something that we should all do in situations like that. And it made a great difference in my brother's life. But I think Jerry is just phenomenal. And he used the word center, and he used hope. Two things that we need to be reminded of. But Jesus brings us hope. We are hopeless without him, because we would die in our sins. So I love what he said. That's exactly
right. That's wonderful. I appreciate that. Jerry, let's ask you another great question we've asked the others, and that is, how about a favorite Christmas song? What's the song of choice for you?
Silent Night. Very easy. Says a whole message right there. It's about Jesus coming to the world. And what happened that night? It's a great summation of Joseph and Mary, the angels, the wise men. It tells the reason for Christmas. And he is the reason for Christmas.
You know, Jim, I think that's true for our best Christmas songs or Christmas hymns. We forget sometimes that a lot of the songs and carols we use today began as hymns. But yes, that's true. They tell the story of Christmas. They tell the story of Christ. And to me, that's a great quality for a hymn or a Christmas song. Is there another quality you might look for? And mm-hmm. when you're picking out what you consider like your best Christmas songs, what quality are you looking for?
It's interesting, because you have taught me something that I didn't know until we started. What have we been, 5 years doing this program?
We're in the fifth year, yes.
Yes, as we've made our way through the Bible, what was amazing to me is so many of the scriptures that we've read, I remember a song just like that. And so it's amazing how many of the hymns that we sing unknowingly are right out of the Bible, and somebody put it to music. And so I'm always amazed when I hear something and I go, oh, I know where I heard that. That's in a song. And it's simply scripture, but it's crafted in a gifted way. I think, you know, you are more musically inclined than I'll ever be. But I think to be able to recognize it's a different language, and how to put all of that together, put it with music, and it's nothing more than further revelation of our Lord and Savior. So quite a bit goes into a song, and I just love it when I find it also to be scripture.
Oh, yes.
So I think that's a wonderful combination.
Yeah, it's interesting. You brought up some good memories for me when you were saying some of those things. I remember as a young person, I was involved in choir. At the time, I was at a church where our music program, I guess some might consider it more formal. We did a variety of music, but we also did what was referred to as sacred music. And for those who are saying, well, what's the difference between sacred and gospel or some of these other types? Sacred is the more traditional music. This is the music that was brought to us by, you know, Bach and Beethoven and Mozart. And what's interesting particularly is that it's almost all scripture. That's one of the unique things about sacred music, is that the words are almost exclusively scripture.
Right.
And what was funny with that for me is I've always had a challenge memorizing scripture in the way some people, you know, they'll just pop a scripture reference and immediately start quoting it. And once they say that, you know, it's maybe like, oh, I know that verse. I can give you the entire passage without any problem. I just didn't know that was the reference for it. Because, you see, I learned so much scripture mm-hmm. as a young person as music. And in music, you're not given the reference, you're given the title of the music. And so it's always been funny to me that,
right.
you know, I'll think and sort of beat myself up sometimes thinking, oh, I wish I knew more scripture, even though I read scripture every day.
Yeah.
But then once you get me started on a verse of it, if it's tied to a song, you know, I can just keep going and going and going at that point because I have that music running in my head. And I think that's one of the things I admired about that music is it made it very easy to commit a large volume of scripture to memory.
You know, Pastor, you triggered my mind again. Have you ever heard a song from Leviticus? How would a song from Leviticus work?
Very carefully, I suspect. We'll have to find some musical CPAs and see if they can work on something like that. That sounds like a good combination for them, or maybe a lawyer.
Maybe Jerry knows.
Well, that'd be good. So we'll work on that next.
Well, Jerry is an attorney.
That's true. Yeah. So he'd have a natural aptitude for that. Also, quite the unique musician. Let's go down memory lane with Jerry for a moment and ask him about his favorite childhood memory.
Mom and Dad putting Christmas presents together. We knew there was going to be something in the morning. Dad would usually play Santa Claus coming out of the back gate. And she did talk about Jesus. We did go to church. With little children, we were anticipating new presents, things we wanted. Yeah, Christmas morning. Sleepy-eyed, they'd always take videos of us. We'd get presents here in Houston, then go have another Christmas at Grandma's house in Livingston, and there'd be more presents there. Go to my uncle's house, her brother, we'd have more presents there. So we got three rounds of presents. So, great Christmas memories.
Now,
tell me something. Did they take videos of you, or to be more honest, were your videos called 8mm?
Well, what they had was that little thing that you crank, and it would flip the cards, and it would look like, you know, we were actually moving, but they were
still images
with a lamp behind it. And by the way, the next time you get in a Christmas situation and you need something to bridge the gap from the transformer to the tracks, just cut a lamp cord. That'll work perfectly, I'll assure you.
I'll remember that. We'll have to fall for that one, possibly. Days. Childhood memories are very special and curious ways, to say the least. And he was good to share that with us. But I tell you what, share with us how you view the way Christmas is being handled today.
I get down looking at my own neighborhood where I live now here in Houston. Everybody's got Christmas decorations. Mm-hmm. They talk about how many trees they have in their house. You hear nothing about Jesus. And Christ is in the name of Christmas, and they seem to miss that. It's sad. But what makes it is you go around the neighborhood, there's quite a few decorations out there, creches. Here at Second Baptist, Christmas is a big deal. I was impressed with it the first time I came here, 1997. They had everything, the shows, the productions, the floats that had lights, the Christmas parade, everything centered around Jesus. Dr. Young made that very clear. Always had Jesus content, even the kids' shows. So if Jesus is in it, it makes it complete. If you leave Jesus out, it's like, it's nothing.
Oh, is that true? Or isn't that an amazing statement? If you leave Jesus out, it's just nothing.
Yeah.
So, but that's the difference. That's what makes Christian Christmases unique and special. There's no way you can leave Jesus Christ out. And that's important to understand. Before we go on, any other thoughts?
Yeah, I was wanting you to handle that same question, Pastor, because Jerry and I are not in the ministry. I'd like to know from a pastor's perspective. You're more, I think, more understanding and more compassionate, and you see a lot more than we do. But what do you see when how Christmas is viewed? And describe Christmas today from a pastor's viewpoint, if you wouldn't mind.
Well, I would say, first of all, there is an element that I think grieves the hearts of a lot of pastors. Because there is a focus on stuff and entertainment tied to the holidays. Does that mean we don't enjoy musical entertainment or programs and such? No, it's a tremendous blessing, and it draws people into the church. Very thankful for that. Make no mistake about it. And the stuff, if you mean the things, the sparkles, the things that puts a lot of joy into the heart of a child or an adult for that matter. I don't have any problem with that. I have a problem when that becomes the sole focus of it. Everything that goes on in anything that a church does that's trying to honor God should be drawing people to Jesus Christ. He says in his word that if he be lifted up, that he would draw all men unto him. It's through that step that people can come to know God as Father, Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and have the very Spirit of God indwelling them and protecting them and giving them eternal life. So if all the celebration times of the year, if we can somehow miss that at Christmas time, and it all becomes about the events, and this happens in subtle ways, by the way, it's, you know, it may be very committed people who are very involved at Christmas time that are so involved that they don't have time to just stop and remember what it's about. You know, they see the events, they see the programs, and they pay more attention to the program and the uniqueness or the mechanics of it. You know, we sometimes use a term called professional Christians. Those are the ones that, you know, that are actually perhaps on staff or in a leadership role. And I think it's especially difficult for them to keep the focus so that they don't get tied up in the event or seeing the wonderful musical program and then thinking about how we need to make every preparation to get it torn down, put away, and ready for the next service. Say, you can't be so professional that you miss the reality of what just transpired. We can't be so professional that we are going through thinking about the next place I need to be in ministry as opposed to looking over and realizing somebody's sitting in the pew after the service has ended and they're just hurting. And so you stop whatever you're doing and you go over there and you come alongside them and comfort, encourage, and find out what's going on in that life and draw them to Christ. So that for us is the challenge, is making certain that we're never so tied up in the event that we forget why we're there. It's not the event, it's the people and the hearts of those people. Christmas time can be exciting, can be wonderful, can be joyous. It can also be a lot of heartbreak going on at Christmas time. And so we want our listeners to know we have a passion for sharing Christ with them. We want them to know the Lord. And in fact, very soon we're going to give them opportunity to know more about that in specific. Because that's what truly is important, to know Jesus Christ, to know the person we're singing, that we're celebrating, have events about. We're celebrating his love to us in a very powerful, wonderful way. In fact, Jerry does a pretty good job with that. I asked him also the question of how would you explain to something about Christmas to the stranger that you suddenly meet. In fact, I think Jerry has such an occasion to describe to a stranger, what is Christmas?
I was in Memorial Park walking, happened to meet a guy, and he clueless about the Bible and about evidently about Christmas. So I got into Christmas with him and had to do like a short summation of the Bible. Why the Old Testament's there and why is it Old Testament? Well, it's before Jesus came. The New Testament is after Jesus came, and the Old Testament leads into the New Testament. Everything in the Old Testament points to Jesus coming in the New Testament. And the rest of the New Testament is about Jesus' life and what's going to happen when he comes back. And it's basically the book, How We Live. Explain to him, you're probably already doing some of these things. Have you killed anybody? No. Have you done anything bad, wrong you went to prison for? No. Well, you're probably following what the Ten Commandments say pretty much, but we can't follow them exactly. So we can't be in God's sight perfect. So that's why Jesus came. He came, he volunteered, I've explained to him, he volunteered to come. God sent him to die for our sins, and I explained that to him. And then you get into why Christmas is so important. The birth of Jesus, and he was just here 33 years, and look what he did. You explain a little about the miracles, go into why he died on the cross, and that he's not just a man, he was part man, part God. And I usually get the question, well, how can that be happening? I said, well, if God is everything he says he is and all-powerful, that anything's possible. And Jesus said that about the Father. With the Father, all things are possible. So you get into about Jesus, how he came in a lowly manner. He came as a servant the first time. The next time he's coming as a king. And why it's important to accept him as Lord and Savior. And there's no better time than Christmas. And it's something I've told him you will remember forever when you accept him as the most important prayer you'll ever say, and you will remember it for the rest of your life. And what better time, Christmas, the birth of Jesus, than you want to celebrate Easter too. It's a horrible event, but there's success and there's light there, and there's hope, factual hope, not just hope, but factual hope, that he's taking care of you, you're on the winning side, you're in his family, and you're going to heaven. And one thing I always add, once you get saved, accept Christ as Lord and Savior, you're going to start worrying about your friends and relatives. They're not saved, because you know in your heart for sure where they're going if they don't and what kind of lives they're going to have. So Christmas is super important, the most important thing that's ever happened in history, and so is Easter.
And with that thought...
You know, Pastor, he's...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, there's two things he said that I thought were so important. Factual and worry. Don't we worry about those around us that for some reason they've not accepted Christ?
Yeah. And with that thought in mind, I wonder if you'd be kind enough to take our listeners through God's simple plan of salvation, a simple prayer of salvation. Would you do that now?
Be happy to. Absolutely. If you have not stepped out and accepted Jesus Christ and you want to be saved, you simply can go to chapter 10 of Romans. You'll find it on our website. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth, God recognizes that when we confess with our mouth, and that is belief unto righteousness. So if you step out and you accept Christ, you will be saved today. You cannot lose your salvation. Right, Pastor?
Absolutely right. So important to remember, we're not the ones that saved us. It's God that did. What God does, he does completely. So there is neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come that can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. Just an incredible message of salvation to realize that is what God has for us. And it all began because of his love so great that he would send Jesus to this earth and come in the form and take on human flesh as a baby. And yet he was the man that went to the cross. So that human flesh that lived without sin, that literally changes eternity for those of us who simply commit our heart, our trust, our lives, our very soul to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So if that's the decision you've made tonight, we celebrate with you. We are excited about that. And we trust that you will send us a note at ask@askthepastornow.com and let us know the decision you've made. We'd love to celebrate with you so much. Jerry's been kind enough to share his testimony. So, Jerry, what's your closing words for us tonight?
Yes, I'd like to wish everyone a Merry Christmas at Ask the Pastor, Charles, Jim, all the listeners. Merry Christmas. God bless you all.
Thank you so much for that, Jerry.
Thank you.
Jim, I'm going to ask you to do something as well. I'm going to share with our listeners some music right now, that tune known as Silent Night, that wonderful, precious hymn. And as that wraps up, I wonder if you'd be kind to share with our listeners Luke chapter 2, 1 through 19, the passage that we typically think of as the Christmas story.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And, lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day, in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds, and one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary, and Joseph, and the babe, lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart.
So very true for a mother, isn't it, to remember every little detail about the life of their child. And, you know, we don't lift Mary too high, but we also don't let her go too low, because God saw something in her life and in the life of Joseph to realize that these were two people, very young, but of a character that he could trust with this very, very important assignment. There's another phrase you heard several times through that passage, and that's a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes were not comfortable. They were not soft like a baby's blanket. They were the clothes that you prepare the body for burial in. Ironic, isn't it, that a child who came to this earth, literally born to die, was also even prepared, even as a child, wrapped in swaddling clothes, fulfilling prophecy. That's why he says that little phrase in verse 12, and this shall be a sign unto you. This is where you'll find the child. This is how you'll find the child. Even in his birth, he was fulfilling scripture, fulfilling prophecy. No greater prophecy than the fulfillment that God said he would make a way for us, that we who had sinned could know forgiveness. That's what Christmas is really, truly about. It's about God fulfilling his promise to you and to me that he was going to provide a way to be saved. And he did it through his son taking on human form so that he could take on sin for us and we can know forgiveness as he made that sacrifice. Much like Mary, I hope we will keep and ponder these things in our heart as we go through the Christmas season, as we begin our new year. Let us never, ever forget what God has done for us in this wonderful experience of salvation. Jim, I thank you for being with us tonight, sharing this time together. Thank you so much. I'm wishing you a Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you for always teaching us. Merry Christmas, and I look forward to getting back to Ask the Pastor Now next week.
Thank you. I encourage people to join us then. We close out then with a wonderful story by Father Ted Burnett about the soldiers' silent night.
It was the night before Christmas. He lived all alone in a one-bedroom house made of plaster and stone. I had come down the chimney with presents to give and to see just who in this dwelling did live. I looked all around, a strange sight to see. No tinsel, no presents, not even a tree. No stockings on the mantel, just boots filled with sand. On the wall hung pictures of far distant lands. Medals and badges, awards of every kind. A sobering thought came alive in my mind. This house was different. It was dark, it was dreary. I had found the home of a soldier. I could see that most clearly. The soldier lay sleeping, silent, alone, curled up on the floor in this one-bedroom home. His face was so gentle, the room in such disorder, not at all how I pictured a United States soldier. Was this the hero of whom I'd just read, curled up on a poncho, the floor for a bed? Then I realized the other families that I saw this night owed their lives to soldiers who were willing to fight. In the morning round the world, children would play. Grown-ups would celebrate a bright Christmas day. But they all enjoy freedom each month of the year because of soldiers like the one lying here. I couldn't help but wonder how many lay alone on a cold Christmas Eve in lands far from home. The very thought put a tear to my eye. I dropped to my knees and I started to cry. The soldier awakened. I heard his rough voice. Santa, don't cry. This life is my choice. I fight for freedom. I don't ask for more. My life is my God, my country, my core. The soldier rolled over and drifted to sleep. But I couldn't control it and I continued to weep. I kept watch for hours, so silent and still as both of us shivered from the cold night's chill. I didn't want to leave him on that cold, dark night, this guardian of honor, so willing to fight. Then the soldier rolled over with a voice soft and pure. He whispered, "Carry on, Santa. It's Christmas Day. All's secure." One look at my watch, I knew he was right. Merry Christmas, my friend. May God bless you this night.
Thank you for joining us on Ask the Pastor. If you have a question or a comment for the program, just email us at question@askthepastornow.com. We will try to respond to you either by email or answer your question on air during a future broadcast. Again, that email address is question@askthepastornow.com. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we invite you to explore our website for great resources. You can also hear previous broadcasts as archives at askthepastornow.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray, and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.